We're coming to the message for today. The scripture is Luke chapter 15 and verse 11 to verse 13. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together, and he journeyed to a faraway country. And there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living." This is the parable of two sons, two different boys. The younger son, very disrespectful and very outspoken, very selfish and self-seeking. And he's seeking something in life. He's seeking something to fill that emptiness in his heart. And he thinks to himself, if I can just get away from my father's house and go to the big city where the bright lights are, I know I will find what I need. I know I will find happiness. And this is a picture of this man with an empty heart, the younger son, the prodigal son. Prodigal means wasteful and extravagant. He wasted his whole inheritance. Well, we also want to just, I'll mention to you the older son, because we don't often hear about the older son. The older son is also a picture of a self-righteous person. A person who thinks that, well, I deserve to be recognized by God. Like a Pharisee, loves to be seen, loves to say long prayers in public, loves to have the seat of honor in the church. And this older brother, he couldn't rejoice when his brother came home. He didn't like it that the father would forgive the younger son. He didn't think that the younger son needed to be forgiven. He rather would have had him punished. And when the fattest calf was slaughtered, he wouldn't partake of the feast. He'd have nothing to do with it. He's like the Pharisee that opposed the Lord Jesus and criticized the Lord Jesus and said, "You eat with publicans and sinners. Me, I'm a righteous man." Well, so both of these sons, we won't talk much more about the older son, but both of these sons provide a very clear picture of the sinfulness of the entire human race. Each of us will be either the older son or the younger son. But the truth is, most of us are the younger son. Most of us are the one that is never satisfied, ungrateful, unhappy, self-seeking. This is the picture of not just us, but the whole human race, everywhere, every place in the world. But this parable also provides a picture of the loving father. It also is a grieving. He's a grieving father. And it provides a clear picture of the love of God to us and how we can find the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest patience and kindness of a loving father towards an ungrateful and unworthy son. This is the picture that we have. And the parable is very clear. Very clear. The loving father in the parable is our Father God, is our Lord and our God. And as we can either be the younger son or the older son, we know that we all need the love of the Father and pardon. This well-known parable is known as the pearl of parables. The great pearl of parables, the pearl that we will sell everything to obtain this pearl and buy this pearl. And it's so rich. It's so full of truth. So let's look now at some of these truths as we focus today upon mostly the younger son in this parable. A certain man, he had two sons, and the younger said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of my goods that falleth to me." And this is the best known as the parable of the prodigal son, but it could also be known as the parable of the grieving father. This prodigal son, he follows his bent desires, his selfish desires, desires of his own natural heart. He can't wait to get away from his father. He must go. But yet his father's very kind to him. The parable tells us nothing of the unkindness of the father. Indeed, the parable shows us only the kindness of the father. And the prodigal, meaning the wandering soul, the selfish soul, says, "Father, give me my stuff. Give me my inheritance. I don't want to stay here with you. I just want your wealth. I don't want you watching over me anymore, Father. I want to go and enjoy life. Give me my inheritance." Now, no one would ever dare say that to their earthly father. Although he may not have said it in these direct words, he might as well have said it. He might as well have said, "Father, I wish you were dead. I wish I just want your money. I don't want to live under you anymore. I hate you. I want to manage my own life, my own affairs. I don't care what you want. I just want my own happiness. I want to be out of your house." How sad to think that a son would dare to talk to his father like that, in such a way. Well, friends, that is how unsaved people treat God. That is how people that are lost, they want to shake off God. They don't want to listen to God. They don't want him in their lives. They say, "Oh yes, God, I want your gifts. Pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. I'm going to get a job interview. Pray that I would get the job." They want God's blessings, but they don't want to serve God. They don't want to open their Bibles. They don't want to pray. They don't want to come to church. They don't want anything to do with God, but they want God's blessings. "Oh, I need health. Give me health, God. Oh, Lord, prosper me. Help me." You see, we are just like the prodigal. Well, how terrible. How sad that is. Well, this prodigal, he says, he's not very honoring at all. He says to his father, give me my wealth. And that father is so kind, he divided his livelihood and he gave it to him. And this faraway country, you know, he went to that faraway country that is spoken of in the parable. Well, that faraway country was most likely very far from the father's house in actual distance, but it also speaks of a heart that is far away, a heart that is hard, a heart that is cold towards the father. He may have walked around his father's property. He may have even walked into the dining room where his father was seated at the table and ignored him. His heart had left home. His heart was far away. He didn't care. He walked through the house. He saw him, but his heart had already departed. His heart was hateful. His heart was cold. His heart was hard. Sin had blinded him. Sin had
caused him to have temporary madness of mind, temporary insanity. The prodigal son hasn't even left home, and he hates it already. And he says, Father, give me the goods that fall me. So the father divides his livelihood, and he's a very sympathetic father. He's a father that's full of grace, and he's obviously a picture of our Heavenly Father. We know this parable of this extravagant, wasteful son. I want to just, before I go on, I want to just give you a definition of what I mean by a parable. A parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So this parable that we are looking at now, there is a heavenly meaning. It's not just a story about the man who leaves home. There is a great truth that we are going to see, a great truth. And this truth is about our Heavenly Father. So the Father divided them, his livelihood, his goods, his property, his wealth. And then that son, so shameful of demanding that from his father, now takes all his wealth and sells it and turns it into cash and leaves home and goes to a faraway country. And he wasted his inheritance with reckless living, wild extravagance. He squandered all that he had. Everything now was finished. And then, on top of that, there arose in the land terrible, terrible famine. And that famine visited the whole land, everywhere. People were suffering and struggling. And what was interesting, when that young man had all the cash, he had many friends, but now when his money was finished, those people that called him friend were nowhere to be seen. He began to be in want. He began to be in starvation. He had brought this on himself. No one had put him in this position. He was responsible for putting himself in that position. And this, friend, is what the self-willed and stubborn heart will get us. It will get us trouble. It will get us hardship. Well, you would have thought at this point, he would have asked himself some questions. Why have I allowed this to happen? I should repent. I should go back to my father. But no, no, no. He's so stubborn. He can't think of going back to his father. He joins himself to a citizen of that faraway country, of that land. It says the original Greek, he glued himself to that person. Glued himself to that person. I'll stick with you. I won't leave you. And he showed some loyalty to that person. But that person showed no loyalty to him whatsoever. Disobedience and sin had taken him so low, so low. Remember, he's a Jewish boy, and it's very shameful for Jews to associate. They hate swine. They don't think that swine are clean. To them, swine are unclean. And now his whole life is feeding these swine, feeding these pigs. Can you see how disobedience had taken him to the lowest possible point in life? The thing that the Jews considered the most unclean was now his livelihood. What's more, he was hungry and he longed to eat the pods, even the pods that were given to the pigs. But he couldn't. People didn't care for him. No one gave him anything.
So he had glued himself to this citizen, and he was serving this citizen, but this citizen was so hard to him. Friends, sin is a hard taskmaster. You can serve sin as faithfully as you like. It will never give you anything except misery and pain. And this is what this man had. He had emptiness, he had pain, he had hunger. And he began to be in serious want. He had no happiness, no peace. We cannot have peace. The wicked cannot have peace. This wicked man couldn't have peace. The devil was so cruel. You see, the way of the transgressor is hard. And he found that out, that it's hard to disobey my father and leave my father's house. Have you ever wondered, why didn't the father was a rich man. Why didn't he send out servants with the instruction, go and compel my son to come home? And if he doesn't want to come home, catch him and force him and bring him home. And why didn't the father do that? Because it would have helped nothing until there had been a change in his heart. If that young man had come home by force, his heart would still be in the faraway place. His heart wouldn't be at home. There had to be a change in his heart before he came home. Even the father's love, even the father's great love, all he could do was prayerfully wait and hope that his heart would change. And the heart, it did change. Now the parable begins to take a turn, a wonderful turn. We begin to see the heavenly truth. The change begins to come. It's very slow at first. You know, most of us, we have sowed seeds in our nurseries or our shambas, and we sow a seed and we water it, and it's slow in coming up. And we look at the ground and we can see a little bump. Ah, and we say, it's coming, it's coming. And then after some days, we see a little shoot. And then we see leaves. And then we see a stalk. And then we see it growing and growing bigger and bigger. And then we see fruit. You see, it takes time. Well, this young man, it was a process. It didn't happen immediately. Slowly it began to happen in his heart. He began, as the Bible puts it, to come to himself. He began, before he was beside himself. He was foolish. Father, give me my money. I must go. I must go. Now he begins to come to himself. And before, he was totally foolish in his mind. He tried to shake off God. He tried to say, I don't need God. But now, I don't need my father. But now he comes to himself and he says to himself, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to arise. I'm going to go to my father. And I'm going to say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Some people, they say, well, he was starving. He was so hungry. That's the reason he wanted to go home. Yes, he was hungry. We can't deny that. But I think there was something else burning. As he began to come to himself, there was another hunger in his heart. It wasn't a hunger for bread. It wasn't a hunger for food. It was a hunger for the Father's face, the Father's voice, the Father's smile. And that hunger was far greater than any physical hunger for bread, hunger that longed for his father's presence, longed to go home again. And then he said, I will arise. But do you know, I will isn't enough. You can have all these good thoughts. You can have good intentions. Oh, I got this good intention. I will arise and go to my father's house. But listen, unless that intention becomes action, it's wasted. What? We have a parable about this. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Good intentions aren't going to save you. What's going to save you is if you actually go. If you actually arise and go. But thank God, this man, he wasted no time. Once he had made up his mind, he acted quickly. Thank God he didn't pull off. Thank God he didn't pull out. He didn't say, I will arise tomorrow. You ask some people, do you want to get saved tomorrow? Well, they never get saved. If this man said, I will arise and go tomorrow, tomorrow would have become yesterday, and he would have still been sitting at the pigs, hungry and starving, sitting among swine. Good intentions cannot save us. There must be action. He rehearsed his speech. He said to himself, right, I don't know my father. I've done so wrong. I'm so ashamed of what I've done. I will say, Father, I've sinned. I've sinned, Father. I'm guilty against heaven, against you. I'm no longer worthy, Father, to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So now he takes courage. He arose and he went to his father. And this provides us a clear picture of repentance, of what genuine repentance is. Turning to God in true repentance and faith, what is it? He left his old life. He left the pigs. He left the far country. And he did what he said. He arose and he went. And this is a true work in his heart. How do I know? He doesn't want to stay with the pigs anymore. He's no longer interested in staying in the faraway country. He longs for his father's house. He desires to turn from his old sinful habits. He desires to turn from fellowship with his old and crooked friends. He desires to put aside those sinful companions. He turns to his father in humble prayer, and he confesses his many sins. He makes no excuse for them. He takes ownership and he says, I have sinned. He says, like the publican, you remember that publican? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is true repentance. True repentance. True. Not feelings. Oh, I feel bad for what I've done. Not tears, crying many tears. Not having good resolutions and good wishes. That's useless if it's not accompanied by change. He changed. He arose and he left his old life and he went to his father. Oh, you know, there are some people and they say, I'm saved. But they're still living in darkness. But Jesus Christ came to translate us out of darkness into his glorious light. The prodigal was once feeding pigs, but he arose and he went to his father. Oh, don't stay in darkness. You've never really repented. If you have repented, you come out of darkness into his glorious light. And the ones that are genuinely contrite and sorry for their sins, let their sins cut them to the heart. Oh, and they say, Father, I've sinned. They are warmly received by the Father. They will be completely accepted by the Father. And this is what we see with this prodigal, this wasteful son, when he comes home. His father saw him a long way off. A long way off. The father saw him and came running to him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the prodigal said to the father, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead, and now he's alive. He was lost, and now he's found. And they began to be merry. This is a picture of the love of the Father through Jesus Christ towards sinners. When he see, you know, he has a sinner, he is lost, he's repentant, and we see a wonderful truth that the Lord is willing to receive them even when they have previously been so willfully stubborn and disobedient. And when they come to him, there's immediate forgiveness, immediate pardoning and cleansing. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all who call upon you. Oh, this prodigal called upon his father, and his father forgave him. If there's one thing that we must never forget, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to receive repentant sinners. Willing to receive them. When we take one step towards God, one inch towards God, when we are a long way off and can't see him, he sees us. He sees us. And he will run to meet us. His eyes of mercy and his eyes of compassion are a lot sharper than our eyes of repentance. But you must repent. If you love him, you will repent. And how swift our God is. Even our eyes of faith, even our decision, I will arise, it's dim compared to his love. He's looking for us to come home. He's waiting for us to come home. Our God will see a returning sinner long before that sinner sees him. I must begin to draw to a close. There are some people who sadly say, maybe tomorrow I will go to my father, but tomorrow will never come. Today is the day of salvation. There are some who have said, I will come tomorrow. But sadly, in that condition, they have died and they've gone to a lost eternity, separated from God forever. What a tragedy. How sad that is when we have a loving, compassionate God who will pardon and will forgive. Their good intention, I will tomorrow, seemed so promising. It seemed so hopeful. But nothing came of it. Hell is full of people with good intentions, but look at the great joy. The great joy when the prodigal actually arose. Verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Sandals or shoes upon his feet. This was more than he thought possible. He had thought that his father might take him back as a slave. This word for slave was not a resident slave that lived in the house. This was like a casual laborer that came maybe 1 hour or 2 hours a day and got some pay and went and slept at home. He thought that's the best the father would do for him. But the father put sandals on his feet. You see, that's significant because the slaves and the servants in those days had no shoes on their feet. And the father was showing him, I accept you as my own son. I give you back the status of son. Oh, what a grace. Do you want to be accepted as a true child in the family of God? Turn from darkness to light. Turn from the power of Satan to the power of God. Believe the gospel. Repent of your sins. Let it be genuine repentance, not just a bad feeling and a few tears. Actually leave your old life and come to the Father and admit your sin and ask Him to forgive you. Oh, and you will be saved. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You will become a child of the Most High God. That heavy guilt that is weighing you down and bending you over and crippling you, it will be removed from you in one instant. Jesus Christ will wash you and cleanse you with His precious blood. Oh, what a wonderful gospel. I don't want to be a shameful son. I don't want to be one that goes away to a faraway land. I want to be one who lives near to my Father in His house, a worthy son, one who says, here am I, Lord. I arise. I come. I leave my old life. Help me to follow You, Lord, all the days of my life. Oh, this is my prayer, this is my cry, that there may be some amongst us today that will come back to the Father, come back and be born again. Let us pray together. Oh Lord, we want to be like that prodigal, that young man that wasted his father's substance. We understand, Lord, there's nothing in the faraway land that can fill that emptiness in our hearts. We understand, Lord, there's no joy in the ways of the world. Oh, Lord, we say, like the prodigal, I will arise, not tomorrow, but today, and I will come to You, and I will say, Father, I've sinned. Forgive me. Wash me and cleanse me. I pray, Lord, that You will make me Your very own son. I ask this, Lord, that there would be some amongst us that would actually arise and come back to You. We ask this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.